Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
Radio.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Hello, and a special good morning to 94.1 FM in Hartford and 93.1 in Waterloo. Good morning, 104.7 Madison, and in the Twin Cities at 90.7 FM and 97.5. We're so glad you're listening, and if you're streaming online, how cool is that? A guy tries to have a relaxing weekend, and then he wakes up to this. What is going on in the world? Boy, oh boy, we got a lot to cover today. We're going to talk about the tragedy, the ugliness of sin. Really, I have no other way to put it except that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia over the weekend. Very sad, very troubling. So I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." I'm a guy seeking wisdom and understanding this morning. I need to sort through this mess with you. I did not pay a lot of attention to the news over the weekend because I had some family birthday parties to go to, and I just kind of enjoyed my family this weekend. And this is kind of the news business that we're in, but we're also into honoring God above everything. So we're going to look to the gospel first and foremost as we look through these stories. President Trump's daughter, Ivanka, speaking out against the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yesterday morning, she tweeted out, "There should be no place in society for racism, white supremacy, and neo-Nazis." She also called for all Americans to come together and echoed her father's statements condemning all hate. Certainly that was hate. A 20-year-old kid takes his car and rams it into a crowd, and he is facing the judge this morning, and his young life at age 20 is now pretty much behind bars for the rest of his life. So there you go. All right. We've got my friend Patrick Albanese, usually from prestigious West Des Moines. But today, this morning, he is at an undisclosed location somewhere off in the United States, vacationing with his family. I don't know if we'll even get him to tell us where he is, but we will ask. We'll certainly give it a try. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Good morning. So glad you're with us. Be back in a minute.
If you had one.
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
It is 8 minutes after the hour, and that walk-up music belongs to my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines, Patrick Albanese. However, today he is at an undisclosed location. Patrick, can we disclose your undisclosed location?
Yes, I'd like to know where I am. You know, they blindfold me when the family takes me on vacation.
Just blindfold and a wallet. That's all they want from you, huh?
They say, you need to relax, and we're taking you I'm in this is the Captiva Island edition of the prestigious West Des Moines. What am I? My daughter just walked down.
Friend and colleague.
She heard the walk-up music. My daughter, and she says, why are you listening to If I Only Had a Brain? I'm like, it's a long story. You'll get to know your dad in a couple of years.
That's adorable. All right. You know, a man tries to have a relaxing weekend, and then he wakes up to this?
You know what? That you could actually say that on any given Monday, can't you?
Yeah, I suppose you could. I really suppose you could. Let's talk about what's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. What's your feeling about that? I mean, it's the ugliness of sin, in my opinion. No further questions.
Yeah, no further questions. But you know, in addition, it's like, okay, so President Trump is catching it from all sides, saying, "Well, you tried to condemn all sides." And you know, I liked what he said about, you know, we got to condemn this kind of ugliness and racism and hate from all sides. And what it looks like is we had this group of people who hate everybody, and then a counter protesting group who hates everybody showed up, and wouldn't you know it, they hated each other. Who could have put that together?
That's brilliant, isn't it?
It is. And I think one of the things that's bugging me a little bit about it is they keep saying, you know, the mostly peaceful counter-protesters. I say, you know, call them what they were. They're this anti-fascist group that has been showing up everywhere since Trump got elected. And I'm not blaming this on them, you know. I mean, it was almost like one group said, we dare you to come protest us. And the other side said, we accept your challenge. And then, of course, like anything else in life, predictably, it gets ugly. And now we're going to chew on this for about a week and also forget that there's ugliness all around the rest of the world. It's a giant mess. And I don't think there's any big fix. This, you know, I remember 40 years ago, the march in Skokie, where it was the neo-Nazis and the ACLU stepped in and said they have a right to march. And it was a peaceful march of Nazis walking down the streets of Skokie, which was probably the largest concentration of Holocaust survivors in the country, mm-hmm. in Skokie, Illinois. And I don't know if, you know, I'm not saying this is the equivalent, but you say, golly, I guess we answer everything with violence now. I guess we answer everything with violence. And it seems like in Skokie 40 years ago, people said, if you ignore them, they'll go away. And they kind of did.
Mm. I wonder if that's what we shouldn't be doing in this example.
Or, you know, maybe not ignoring, but, you know, maybe there's a turn the other cheek. And I'm not saying just allow people to do crazy things. But maybe one of the things God was trying to tell us is look away from this.
Right.
Look to me. Look to me. That's what I'm saying. Turn the other cheek here. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Is there anything President Trump can do where he won't be criticized? Anything?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a darn thing. We are in that magical land of how do we spin this to make him look bad? There are days where he makes it easy. There are days where you say, gosh, that seemed pretty sensible to me, what he said or what he did. And, you know, then you open up the paper and you say, I guess I'm wrong again.
Mm-hmm. To the point where you sent me an article over the weekend, which I didn't read, but it said, here's the headline, if you are married to a Trump supporter, divorce them.
Yes. That was the recommendation from a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, oh boy, have we is this the general idea that we're supposed to have that if you are married – that was in Harper's Bazaar, by the way, which is bizarre. But you can say this is not like some fringe, you know, Joe's website where, you know, Joe, having just emerged from a week of living in his mother's basement to move into his father's basement because mm-hmm. they haven't seen each other in 12 years. This is Harper's Bazaar.
Right.
And they're saying, you know what? If you're married to somebody that is a Trump supporter, then divorce them and make the world a better place. I don't know how one more divorce is going to make the world a better place, but okay. You know, it seems like a no-frills divorce has gotten a little out of hand. I'd like to sit before the judge and say the grounds for divorce are he supports Trump. Mm. Well, you get everything.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to get into some of the discussion that's going on at Google. It is quite amazing to me this guy lost his job trying to have reasonable conversation about the differences between men and women. And
yeah,
there's a lot of things to discuss here. It seems that for the purposes of employee non-discrimination policy, there really is no such thing as the difference between a male brain and a female brain. And any suggestion to that is going to be bigotry, correct?
That is, yeah. That's if you dare say that there's a difference between the male brain and the female brain, boom. That's grounds for termination, obviously, at Google. Yeah.
So,
however.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I see where you're going to go with this, that when it comes to, say, the transgender issue, when somebody says, golly, I'm born with the wrong brain or the wrong body, we got to fix one of these two items. So if a man says, I have a female brain, people say, oh, gosh, well, we got to fix that. You say, I thought there was no difference between the male brain and the female brain, but when it comes to the transgendered brain, evidently there is a difference. And it is allowed to be either male or female. And if you disagree with that, why, once again, you are a bigot. Ta-da! The you lose lottery strikes again.
Oh. So, and of course, they tell us that the sexuality is fluid, right?
Absolutely. It's like, yeah, it's – I remember – that when you first heard that, you said, I don't understand that. So somebody could just pick their sexuality. I could have sworn that 20 years ago you said that a person can't pick their sexuality, that it's written in stone. So it's not written in stone?
I know. They can't make up their minds.
Well, it's only written in stone if you have picked an alternative lifestyle, which, by the way, I always remember, you know, my years of living in Los Angeles, I said, gosh, this is the only place where marrying a member of the opposite sex and having children is considered an alternative lifestyle.
All right, vacation boy, we're going to take a little break when we come back. More with Patrick Albanese from Captiva Island this morning. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 17 minutes after the hour. I have my friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese, on the studio line this morning. Patrick, you know, I'm looking at this article that if you're a man in Australia and you go to a certain cafe, you might end up paying an 18% premium tax just because you're a man.
Yes, the man tax.
The man tax.
Yeah, that sounds like a business formula guaranteed to succeed.
That is to reflect the gender pay gap.
Yeah. And, you know, their Facebook page, they say, well, you know, even the men who think it's great, they don't mind paying the extra 18%. But, you know, what are you supposed to say if somebody comes up to you and you know it's going to be a loaded question? They say, well, how do you feel about, you know, making things right in the world by paying the extra 18% that you men illegally seem to get just by being born male? You're good with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the average guy, if he wants to escape with his life or avoid confrontation, like guys like you and me, would say, love it. Anyway, I'm hungry. I got to go.
Right.
Yeah, but you might not go back. And, you know, it's I think in America, I don't know how that could fly, you know, that you would be discriminating and charging one group more. And then some people might say, well, women pay more for haircuts. And I think it's usually based on the fact they have more hair. The whole thing gets convoluted. But I look at it, I go, look, it's a publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a publicity stunt. Just like everything, when I see companies that do their virtue signaling and they say, look, our laundry detergent, we're having a modern gay couple represented in our TV commercial. And people either get upset or they cheer it. And I say, look, they're just after your money. You understand they're after your money. That this whole idea was run by the marketing department. They decided that this was a safe time to maybe put together a commercial like this to virtue signal that we're so advanced and progressive. But all they want is your money. They're just after your spending dollars.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
It's really simple. You go, if they really had taken a – why did they wait so long to take this stand on it? Well, they waited until it was safe for them as a business where it wouldn't hurt their bottom line profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to get crazy about the – we have so much outrage as it is. We're losing our ability to laugh at anything anymore. You know, you might say that we practice mirth control, you know. It's like you can't laugh, but I'd rather almost laugh at something like this. I don't want to be outraged by it. I want to say, oh, you're after my money, and I can choose to spend my money with you or not, and – I don't even have to be upset about it. It's like, oh, if you're going to virtue signal and say, you know, look at this, we're charging men extra because they're men, I'll say, I'll go somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to go somewhere else and good luck with your business. I kind of doubt it's going to work, but okay, good for you.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to give you any outrage.
Patrick, we've got the summer coming to an end. I saw that the first 3 days of the Iowa State Fair got 311,000 visitors. I think you were one of them, weren't you?
Yeah, we went there. Boy, did we pick it. We could only – there was only one day because we were going on vacation. So we went Saturday at noon, the first Saturday, the busiest day, and we waited in line to wait in line.
Right.
Which was really quite a surprise.
Yeah.
We love the State Fair. We love the State Fair.
Yeah.
You know, is one of the best in the country. It's the only one that has a musical written about it. So,
Yeah. But as we're heading towards the direction of the state fair in the end of the summer, it also reminds me of the start of the football season. And, of course, there's already a football player that's sitting during the national anthem. And you sent me an interesting wasn't a cartoon as much as it was two photos. And it was a picture of Tim Tebow down on one knee. And the caption is, "Why do liberals hate this?" And then there's a picture of Colin Kaepernick also down on one knee. And then it says, "But they praise this."
Yes. Isn't it amazing? You just change what it's for. One guy is bowing down before God, and the other guy is bowing down before no one. You know, he's bowing down before himself, saying that I know better, and I'm protesting this great country that gave me everything I have. And, you know, you can go crazy trying to dissect the whole Colin Kaepernick, and now who just did it? Marshawn Lynch did it.
Yes.
That out. And I go, you know what? Do what you want. Take the cameras off of them.
I agree.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fine. But, you know, here's the thing I know, Marshawn, and you're a great player, but you're on the Raiders now. And we know that that's last stop before retirement. We just know him.
Right. So I assume you've already seen Al Gore's new movie, the sequel to the sequel to his climate change movie. I assume you've seen it.
Well, I didn't need to see it because I lived it.
Okay.
But I do find it kind of interesting that his first movie that came out, you know, 12 years ago, not only did not a single prediction in it come true, but it's actually colder now in general. The global temperature is colder now than when the movie came out. So it's not only did none of the predictions come true, it's going the opposite direction. We have more polar bears than when the movie came out, and we have more ice. But hey, let me come see your follow-up to your first movie, which didn't predict anything correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Other than your electricity bill would be 35 times the average. I mean, that's the one thing that has gone up is his electricity bill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, big surprise here, there is a surge in children being admitted to ER for marijuana.
Okay, surprise to whom?
Not me.
Oh, did you notice that I used proper English?
I know, I saw that. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's what happens when your wife is very good at stuff like that. We just celebrated our 9th anniversary, and you get corrected for 9 years, and pretty soon you say, to whom? It's not a surprise. You know, Colorado, they're generating all this tax revenue, which they're probably just sinking back into their ER rooms to take care of this kid. You know, they're squeezing a tube of toothpaste without taking the cap off. They're just moving stuff around. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Were you surprised?
No, not at all. But as the attitudes about marijuana just move around, you know, they're finding out that it only goes in one direction. Poorly, it goes in more trouble. More disruption. In France, for example, there's been a 133% increase over marijuana intoxication at ER.
Yes.
And we should realize this is the same direction we're headed.
Oh, absolutely. And if you read, and I normally say don't try to read the comments in articles because you get people from either side that are just can be rabid about things. But I love this excuse that I see popping up all over the place when the facts come out, and that is, hey, well, it's not as addictive as alcohol, and that's legal. It's like, oh, heck, let's just run everything on that scale. It's not as addictive as alcohol, so let's make that one legal and that one legal and that one legal. And if everybody in the world ran around in an altered state, is it a better place or a worse place? You know, maybe we should, stop some of this legalization craziness until we know the long-term effects. And to just say, gee, alcohol has really made a mess of things, let's legalize more stuff? I'm not sure I'm on board with that.
Yeah, we always want to change the way we feel. And we can do that by going into the throne room of God, going in and worshiping the Father and going in prayer, because that's how you leave this world and go to a better place, simply through prayer.
Everything is a substitute for the real deal.
Yeah, of course.
Everything is a substitute. And I often say shortcuts are dead ends.
We're going to tweet that out. Shortcuts are dead ends. Yeah. I just got a big thumbs up from Rebecca. That's a great line.
I came up with that one myself, as far as I know.
Yeah, well, made it up, ripped it off. What's the difference?
There is no difference. But right. They are, you know, you go, say, alcohol and drugs and intoxication, they are shortcuts to a euphoric feeling that is a dead end, unfortunately, because wouldn't we love it if we could just get away with a substitute for God that would fit the bill without having to bow down before the king, the real king.
Exactly.
Is it all bowing down before the king?
That's what I call vacation wisdom. You've gotten yourself out of your environment into a new one, and that is some gold you've given us this morning.
Well, that's because I just went through the TSA. You know, I got a pre-approved check, so I just, it affected my attitude.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, Patrick,
when you can go through, I went through airport without taking off my shoes. So,
That's a good day. We got to run. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great vacation.
Thanks.
I'll see you next Monday. Week. Yep. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be back more. We've got Dr. Adam Carrington up next. Good morning. It's half past the hour. Really had an enjoyable segment with Patrick Albanese. You may want to go back and listen to that. He just sent me a text saying, I recommend doing a show overlooking the ocean and sunrise any day. So it's nice to have him on board. We're going to take a little break for news. Then we're going to hear a little bit about God's love from Sheila Walsh, who's an author and speaker. And then at 20 minutes to the hour, we're going to talk to Dr. Adam Carrington, our friend, our political professor from Hillsdale College. Oh, does he have wisdom? Be back in a minute. Good morning. 25 minutes until the top of the hour. You know, sometimes you may feel like life is so overwhelming and wonder if God is really there. Author and Bible teacher Sheila Walsh has been there. But it was in that deep valley that God reminded Sheila that he was with her.
When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, he had known the Lord for quite some time. I mean, at that point, when he wrote, he'd known the Lord for almost 20 years. And he had been through everything. He had been through the worst there is. But he wrote, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I discovered the truth of those words in a psych hospital, because I always thought if I ever end up there, it will be the end of me. In actual fact, it turned out to be the end of my wrong understanding of our great God. I remembered that I've never been the good news. Jesus is, that he's always been in control, that he's always had a good strong hold on me.
If you want to hear that full interview, go to myfaithradio.com, type in Sheila Walsh. She's the author, speaker, and a Bible teacher. And you can also try typing in, I am too broken to be loved. Maybe you can remember that easier, but type that in, give it a shot. We hope you find your way there. Next up, Dr. Adam Carrington is on the studio line. We'll be back with him in just a minute.
Political correctness too often twists an offer of hope into hatred. This is Jim Garlow. Preaching God's word includes calling evil for what it is and warning people of the consequences of sin for their own good. But in recent years, the politically correct form of hate speech is defined as anything that goes against libertine sexual practices or other so-called self-destructive decisions. In European nations, preaching the word of God has been attacked legally when God's word runs counter to cultural correctness. A Swedish pastor was sentenced to prison for preaching a sermon on biblical sexual behavior. His case went to the Swedish Supreme Court. He was acquitted, but the prosecutor told him to get a new Bible, one that didn't reference homosexual behavior in a negative light. Equal justice for all is the standard that God has given to the benefit of all of us. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Good morning. It's 22 minutes until the top of the hour. That music says it's time for Dr. Adam Carrington, professor from Hillsdale College. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. How are you doing this
I'm
morning?
Well. So I was at a party over the weekend with my family, and I was talking to my brother-in-law, Tom, and he said to me, so do you have like favorite guests on the show, and without skipping a beat, I said, yeah, I do. Like Adam Carrington, for example, I used you right away. First name that came to my mind.
I very much appreciate that. I don't know what that says about the rest of the quality of the guests, but I'll take it.
No, we've got a lot of A-team guests on this show, so the fact that that surfaced right to the top of my mind, I thought, well, that's true. So after the weekend, I bet you feel like taking up a new activity.
That is a temptation,
for sure.
I was talking with the with your producer, and the idea of basket weaving came up, but I don't think I have the dexterity for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, what happened over the weekend? You try to have a relaxing weekend, and all of a sudden this goes on, and now we have to process it, and let's do it through the eyes of the gospel. But let's start with what happened in Charlottesville.
Yes, that's very much, you know, joking aside, very tragic that that you had the vitriol there to begin with the protests and counter-protests, but that one of the men protesting the removal of the Confederate statues in Charlottesville actually took violence into his own hands and killing at least one person, I think absolutely is reprehensible. And I think it should be reprehensible to us both as Americans and for those of us that also are Christians. I think on both levels we could talk about what a travesty and what a destruction of what it means for the country and what it means as believers in the gospel.
Well, when you see this 20-year-old kid, I mean, his life is essentially over, and the amount of hatred to take your car and ram it into a crowd, it just takes my breath away.
Yeah, and I think, you know, certainly there are ways, like I said, of talking about it as Americans where we say this is against the Declaration of Independence, you know, our founding document that talks about all men being created equal, all deserving protection, all deserving the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But I think, the tragedy is, I think it shows something that Christianity knows, which is that I don't think it's that we have a knowledge problem of what's just and unjust and how we should treat others, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, but we have a will problem, a sin problem. And I think this is what shows, this kind of hatred that you're talking about is what happens, I think, when people delve deeply into idolatries of race and politics. Mm-hmm. When race becomes your idol, when you exchange the glory of God for that. And I think what we see is that has, you know, as someone who studies politics, that has deep political ramifications when that becomes your God, and then you start acting on your God, you start worshiping your God in the political sphere. That looks very different than worshiping the God of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Adam, how did the White House respond?
The response was interesting. Now, so if you look at the news, you would probably think that President Trump celebrated it by the way some news outlets, that he celebrated this kind of violence, which he did not. He mm-hmm. said that there is hate and vitriol on both sides, and that he thinks that it's wrong. Where he's gotten some pushback, and I think there is at least something to this, but is that he refused to condemn neo-Nazis or racist groups by name. And the reason that I think that is that caused some consternation is I think President Trump, as candidate Trump, made a very good point that when there has been Islamic terrorism, the other side has been reticent to actually call out the particular evil or the particular engagers in evil and say, no, it is these particular groups and persons that are doing it, and we need to name who we're engaging with. We need to not just talk broadly about people are bad or violent or mean. And I think the hope was that as he called out the left for not doing this with Islamic terrorism, he would consistently then call out by name these groups, and he stopped short of doing that. And I think that's where there was some consternation. It's not that he expressed any kind of approval, but that he didn't go after them with the same kind of harshness that I think a lot of people were heartened by him doing during the campaign on the other side.
Can you speculate why?
Oh, this gets into kind of psychology that I can't say that I know deep down. Mm-hmm. I think he understands or believes probably that the Islamic threat is a much bigger threat by numbers, by threats of violence. And I think he worries that he might be playing too much into what would the political left do with this if he went too far in condemning it. And I think that's actually a miscalculation. And by the way, I don't think it's because the president harbors himself certain pernicious racial attitudes, but I think he might be thinking too much of what his opponents might do with this kind of condemnation, and I think that's the kind of politics that I think he's playing here that he refreshingly didn't play earlier.
Mm-hmm. Adam, I need exactly 3 sips of coffee, so I will take them, and then when I come back, I want to ask you about what's going on with the rhetoric in North Korea and Venezuela, and I want to find out what your take is on the stance that President Trump is taking, and I know it's being criticized, but I think to some degree he's putting down a very strong line, and I want to find out your take on that. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back with Dr. Adam Carrington.
No, the devil ain't lazy.
No,
likes to see us fight and fuss. Makes us mean enough to cuss. And then he blames it all on us.
He works 24 hours a day.
He travels like a lightning streak and he strikes from town to town.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
Good morning, 12 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Dr. Adam Carrington, professor from Hillsdale College, on the studio line. Adam, let's talk about what's continuing to escalate in North Korea.
Sure. It seems like the news comes so fast at this point. So North Korea has continued to, I think a good phrase for it is saber rattle, about the fact that their capacity to use or fire nuclear weapons is getting more and more, it seems, sophisticated, and therefore more and more capable of reaching further and further, which means coming closer and closer to the U.S. mainland. And what's interesting is how does one then approach a nuclear power, one that has the sort of capability that North Korea has, but also some of the danger that North Korea has as far as what it's willing to do. And so there's a ongoing debate about how strongly should we attack North Korea verbally? Should we be willing to do military strikes against it? And right now, President Trump has taken a very hard verbal line about it. And it'll be interesting to see if that very hard verbal line is a new approach that is a better way to deal with North Korea, or if this is dangerously escalating toward a place where no country wants to go. And this is where politics is both interesting and concerning.
Adam, what do you think about the advisory team, the evangelical advisors, saying that President Trump has the God-given authority to take out North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and to do what needs to be done to protect?
I think it's certainly true that, and the reference was that I think was being made to Romans 13, that that God establishes magistrates, He establishes political leaders to do good, to punish evil, and to honor the good. I think that certainly means that the president has the authority to act in these kind of situations. I think it what that scriptural passage doesn't answer is what's the appropriate or best answer in this case. So I think Christians of goodwill can disagree as to whether this is the correct approach, but I think it's absolutely true that it is the president of a country that should be dealing with these kind of crises, and that it is his God-given authority to do so.
Adam, didn't the country pretty much put on party hats when they took out Osama bin Laden? And President Obama pretty much ran his reelection campaign based on that Osama's dead and Al-Qaeda's on the run, and that was...
General Motors is alive.
General Motors is alive, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, and that's where I'm saying I think he absolutely has the power. It's a question of what is the best way to deal with North Korea, and I think that is where people, like I said, of goodwill and following Christian principles can disagree on what's the wisest approach. But that's because just the question is you want to avoid nuclear war. That's the real question. It's not whether the president has the authority to do so. It's what. I think most people want to avoid a nuclear conflict, and I think the worry is that North Korea just might be goaded into doing it. At the same time, in the president's defense, not only does he have the authority to do so, but so far North Korea, other approaches to North Korea have not worked. So, in his defense, there might be some reason to think that a change of approach might not lead to nuclear war, but might lead to containing Korea in a better way.
Mm-hmm. Adam, I need to be reminded about once a week what North Korea's end game is. Why are they doing this?
That is a great question. And sometimes we tend to treat North Korea as if it's almost a completely irrational actor, as if they don't have any kind of interest and they just antagonize. And I think that's a great question you ask to remind ourselves that's not the case. I think what they are looking for is increased bargaining power and an increased role in the world that allows them to, one, remove a lot of the sanctions that are on them, and two, to normalize some of their relations with other countries, but normalize them in a way on their terms. They don't want to be dictated to by other countries, and I think these sorts of outbursts are attempts to, on their own terms, get sort of parity with the rest of the world so that they believe that they'll be treated with respect, that they'll get their sanctions lifted, and that they'll have the sort of say and sway in the world that they want and that they think they deserve.
Yeah, you know, I never know what to believe when I hear things like, well, you know, we can push him back a little bit, but come on, Kim Jong-un isn't suicidal. I go, really? He might
be. That is the question, and I guess what the worry possibly is you know, I if you, for those who have seen the Hamilton musical, and this is on my mind because I just saw it, it brings out actually the true story where Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton end up in a duel. If you read how they got to that duel, it was a series of unintentional escalations where if at any point someone had stopped or done something slightly different, they wouldn't have got to the duel. There became a point where it was unavoidable based on both men's understanding of their honor. Neither wanted to get to that point, but they sort of walked themselves into it. I think the president's tough talk is not in itself a bad thing. I think he just needs to be wise and prudent that they don't walk this other country into doing something that everybody will regret. That's why the presidency is such a tough job. Asking those questions is a really tough call.
Yeah. All right, let's shift a little bit. President Trump and Mitch McConnell, they're kind of going at each other. Why is there so much struggle here to score some kind of political win for the Republican Party?
Very deep, long-standing problems. Some of them are functional. I think you have a political novice in the White House who doesn't have the experience of shepherding bills through, and then you have a Congress, and I think this is where the bigger blame lies, because, you know, the guys in Congress aren't political novices, but they have not been able to get a bill through of their own volition. And I think the Congress's ability to function is showing itself to be not what the founders intended it to be. And I think on top of that is some things we've talked about before, that on a lot of these bills, the Republican Party has different factions that have different priorities, and the hard work of fusing those, of saying, all right, certain voters have certain priorities in the health care bill, others have different ones based on how free market you are, based on how much you want government to do in health care. They haven't found a compromise yet. And this is something that the last time Republicans came to power in the 1980s in a unified fashion after being out for a while, they had already done this. There were these different factions in the Republican Party, and in Ronald Reagan they had come together. That process hasn't quite taken place yet, and it needs to take place, or if you combine that with some of the other issues, they're going to continue to run into these problems.
Mm-hmm. Adam, promise me you'll always be available to come on my show.
I will whenever possible.
Okay, thank you.
I love joining you all.
Thank you so much. We just love having you. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You all too.
Thanks, Adam. 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and be back.
Feel free to stop by on your way to work. The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. If the front door's locked, use the secret knock.
All right, that wraps up our first hour. Dr. Adam Carrington, thank you so much. So far, you gave us the word pernicious, which could be the word of the day. Of course, we say that carefully because we have Dr. David Aikman coming up in the next hour. And he's got a huge vocabulary. I like to think of myself a little bit of as a wordsmith. And, of course, a wordsmith is someone who has the ability to take words and, you know. Okay. Hey, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we got a great second hour coming up. Dr. Noble is going to be with us. First-time guest. We're excited to have him. We'll see what his take is. He's also going to weigh in on the situation in Charlottesville. And then Dr. Aikman in the second hour. Oh, that's going to be a great day. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.